Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalms 56 and 57. Psalm 56, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. To the chief musician upon Jonath Elem-Rekokim, Miktam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting, daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Psalm 57, to the chief musician, Altaskit, Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So Psalms 55, 56, and 57 have a theme that is common to them. In 55, remember, David said what? Oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly off into the wilderness, right? In Psalm 56, in the psalm title, to the chief musician upon Jonath Elem-Rekokim, which means the silent dove of the wilderness. Okay, so in Psalm 55, David says, if I had wings like a dove, I would fly away. In Psalm 56, in the psalm title, there is this silent dove of the wilderness, this dove that has flown, right? And then in Psalm 57, notice, while it may not be exactly the same reference, we do have David desiring to do what? To hide himself under the wings of the Lord. And so there is a There's a common theme that runs through these three psalms. It is a theme that has to do with a dove and birds and so on. But it's the same kind of theme in that David is seeking the protection and refuge of God in the midst of trial. And so there are several different ways that he says that. All right, so this is a miktam of David. That is, it's that worthy golden psalm, that psalm of great weight and matter. And it was written when the Philistines took him in Gath, probably referring to 1 Samuel chapter 21. And that is when David pretended to be crazy in order that they would not attack him. I mean, here he is surrounded by his enemies. David, at this point in his life, is surrounded by his enemies in Gath and at the same time being pursued by his enemies in Israel. David is a man without a country, if you will, at this point in his life. So this is a psalm written during one of the most difficult portions of David's life when he fled from Saul and found himself in the midst of the Gittites, the Gathites. Gittites is the way we say that. And let me just put it this way, and we ask the question, asking the question hopefully will carry its own answer. Do you think they remembered who it was that killed Goliath? And where was Goliath from? Gath. Okay, so now we're getting a picture of what's going on, right? Okay, so in the first section, I have that as 1 through 7. David's enemies are those who are supposed to be his friends. Saul and his company chase him out of the country. You remember that David, when he confronts Saul in one of those two occasions in the chapters just after this, that David says to Saul, effectively, here's what you've said to me. You've said to me, go worship false gods. Go join yourself to another idolatrous country. You don't belong here where Yahweh is worshipped. That's what David had said, right? You've said to David, go worship other gods. You've driven me out from the presence of the Lord to a place where idolatry reigns. So Saul and his company chase him out of the country. And further, even those who harbor him are not truly his friends. And so he declares that there are many who fight against him. He has enemies in Israel and enemies here in Gath. He is a man without a home. And at this time, then, he places his trust in the Lord. Let us remember that whenever we put our trust in men, we will be disappointed. When we put our trust in the Lord, we will never be disappointed. Notice that he does not fear what man can do. We read Matthew chapter 10 earlier today about confessing Christ before men and not saving our life in order to lose it, that kind of thing. This is the kind of commitment that David has here. David has continued to confess the great God even in the midst of this great difficulty. And then he asks that the Lord would cast down those who lay in wait for his soul. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Every day they wrest my words, and all their thoughts are against me for evil. I wanted to pick that up as I meditated upon this psalm. I thought, you know, this would be a good application for us to make here. And that is that it is the sign of the wicked to wrest words, to twist them out of their proportion, rather than to seek truth and communication. And maybe you've seen this, maybe you've been a part of it. I hope not, but it does happen to us from time to time where we sin in this way. We're having a discussion with someone, and in order to gain an advantage, we twist their words. We take something out of proportion that they didn't mean to communicate, and we make that some kind of a red herring in order that we may, you know, bolt down the path to victory in this confrontation. Okay? Well, that's what the wicked do. That's what David says. Every day, they wrest my words. This happens in theological conversation. It happens in all kinds of different ways. Let us be clear here that as those who follow the one who in Scripture styles himself the Lord God of truth, that we are supposed to be people of the truth. And that means that we're not so very insistent on everyone saying exactly the right words, rather than picking them up, twisting them, and running down the road with them in the wrong direction. What we want, what we ought to want, is to communicate and to advance together toward that that standard of Christ-likeness that's revealed in the Word of God. So it is the strategy of those who are wicked to twist words. And it's the strategy of those who are godly to seek the truth, even when the wrong words are used, right? So let's do that. All right, secondly then, in the second section of this psalm, really it reaches to the end, 8 through 13, David trusts in God's familiarity with his situation. It's an interesting way that David says it, very endearing. He says, "Thou tellest all my wanderings." The Lord knows I'm in Gath, right? "Thou tellest all my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" David is confident that God keeps a record of all of the difficulties that he undergoes, that God cares in this way for his people, that he is aware of their afflictions. As a matter of fact, the prophet goes on to tell us that in all their afflictions, I was afflicted, the Lord says. This is how dear the Lord draws his people to himself, that when we are afflicted, he is afflicted with us. And so David confidently calls upon the Lord when he says to him, "All my tears are in thy bottle, they are in thy book." Then in verse 9, "When I cry unto thee, mine enemies shall turn back. This I know, for God is for me." God is for me. He is not against me. Now, think of David's circumstances here. If anyone had reason to say God has turned against me, David did in this particular circumstance. But he didn't. He did not say that at all. Rather, his confession is secure in that God is for me. Remember, do not let circumstances dictate to you whether or not God is for you. Right? Circumstances cannot dictate that. God, speaking in his word, assures you. And that is where our confidence should be placed. So notice David's confession. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Then verse 12. Thy vows are upon me, O God. Right? What is David talking about here? Well, he's talking about his covenant vows to belong to the Lord, that he is the Lord's. And so I will render praises unto thee. And then in verse 13, that thou hast delivered my soul from death, wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling? And so he reasons, like we see over and over again, from past success, from past protection to current confidence, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Okay, so Psalm 57 then, to the chief musician Altaskit, Miktam of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. Now, Altaskit might refer to a tune, but its meaning is "do not destroy." Well, he's fleeing from Saul in the cave. What do you think "do not destroy" means in that context? Pretty obvious, right? "Do not destroy my life, but preserve it," in other words. And so the first verse of the psalm then calls upon the Lord for mercy. "Be merciful unto God, unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee." He says it twice, right? Not endeavoring to fill up the book. He says it twice because it is an urgent request. Then he says, "In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." And here, once again, we have the lonesome dove fleeing into the wilderness. Here we have David being protected under the refuge of the wings of the Lord. "I will cry unto God Most High, God that performeth all things for me." So we note his confidence. "And he shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah." And so it's very clear then that David's confidence issues forth in this prayer and this psalm. Now notice, "God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." You remember those two words, right? where they're very popular around here. Chesed ve'emet. And those are that's the gospel preaching of the Old Testament. That's the sound of the gospel that goes forth. God's covenant faithfulness in truth to all of his people. Although David's soul, he says, is among lions, those that are set on fire even, the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongues a sharp sword, still, he says what? God will send forth his mercy and his truth. So we have this strong confidence of David's once again. And then what does David do in the midst of this difficulty? Well, he makes his complaint, his petition known before the Lord, but then note what he does. He calls upon the Lord to exalt his own name. Not to exalt David's name. Not to make sure that David is taken care of. But in the return of these prayers, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Then we have that in verse 6, that thing that we often hear in the Psalms. And that is that those who lay in wait for God's people to destroy them, they dig a pit, they set up a trap, they set up a snare, they set up a gin, whatever it is. David prays that they would be caught up in it themselves. And we see that over and over again in the Psalms. All right, so then in verse 7, David says, my heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Fixed here does not mean repaired from being broken. It means set in its proper place. Steadfastly. So my heart is affixed. My heart is steadfast. That's what David is saying. And he says, I will sing and give praise. Again, notice that it is not the circumstances that dictate David's steadfastness. It is indeed the word of God that dictates David's steadfastness. So then he repeats that praise again. He says, awake up my glory. What is awake up my glory? What is my glory? Well, that is the most worthy part of who I am, right? The best parts, the most worthy, the heaviest, the most worthwhile portions. When we praise the Lord, when we offer up unto him our listening, our hearing, our praise, we don't want to do that with the lightest parts of ourselves, right? We want to bring our strength, the heaviest, the worthiest portions. That's what kavod there means. Awake up my glory, awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. And then the repetition, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens and thy truth to the clouds. Again, mercy and truth. You hear that? And notice that David says, I will sing unto thee among the, what? Nations. Now this is particularly important, knowing that he is cast hither and yon outside of Israel, that David does not cease to praise God, even when he is found among the Gittites, which we saw in the last psalm, that such a connection is made here to this psalm. But also this is that personation of Christ, where our Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the Savior to all the world. And then, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above the earth. And so notice, our glory wakes up so that we can extol God's glory above the heavens and the earth. Right? All right, so that's Psalm 56 and 7. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.